Mr. Chairman, I think we're, I guess we're ready to get started.
Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action on selection of actuarial service provider by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
All right, and so we have Jen from Gallagher here give the first presentation. She has 30 minutes to do the presentation, and then we'll have the next party come in. 15-minute break, then the next party, and then there's the last one is whatever. We're a different schedule now, but whatever, 30 minutes for
that group. That's perfectly fine.
So I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Well, maybe I should stand for the interview. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm Jen Turk at Gallagher. I've been with the firm for about 13 years now, and I had worked with the plan before Doug Anderson left. I've been an assistant on the plan. We usually have two or three people on a team. So I've worked with the plan for 7 years probably total, off and on, and then took over 3 years ago when Doug left for the Minnesota Para Board. So I've been the main talking head, if you will, on the plan for 3 years now, I think.
3 years,
yeah. So thanks for having me. I'm glad to kind of give an overview of Gallagher and our team and our services that we've been providing to Brazos, and hope you enjoy it. So this is kind of my quick agenda. I don't think it'll take full 30 minutes unless you all have a lot of questions for me. The agenda is just gonna look over, kind of introduce you to Gallagher as a whole, and then we'll talk more about our specific engagement team that works on it, our specific services that we've been providing to Brazos, and then we'll have time for questions. So to get started, so Gallagher as a whole, we like to say we're global, but we feel local. We like to, I can attest to that definitely just through our acquisition. So we used to be Stanton Group, you know, way back in the, I think about 10 years ago now, and we got acquired by Gallagher. But our department didn't change at all. We didn't have to change how we were doing things as an actuary group when we got acquired. So they kind of let the local offices, you know, kind of be their own, you know, their own separate. It almost kind of gives the feel of like if you're a franchisee or something. They kind of let you do your own thing as long as you're, you know, contributing to the overall Gallagher picture. They kind of leave you alone and you kind of get you to do your own thing. So I feel like our office, even though we got acquired, it didn't really change our business practice at all. It was very smooth. What we did gain was access to a much bigger network, if you will. So when we got acquired, we went from a privately held, we had about 150 employees total. They acquired us, and all of a sudden we joined this huge corporation that's got 20,000 plus employees. But I feel like the main for our department, the biggest thing that we enjoy is just having an expert on any topic that comes up. I've never had a question come up, I mean, merger and acquisition work, you know, investment managers, we have ERISA attorneys. Like, I can always find an expert somewhere in the Gallagher network that'll be able to answer my question if anything strange comes up. So I think that's been the biggest benefit to being part of this big firm. But we have like I said, we try and have a local feel. And another thing that Gallagher is very proud of, they've been doing this for 6-7 years now, is they have won an ethics award, basically, every year from Ethisphere. They fill out an application process, they go through interviews every year, and this Ethisphere says, yep, you're doing things how you should be doing, you're, you know, not trying to hide anything, you're trying to be very transparent and open and honest. So I think that's one of the awards I'm most proud of. There's other awards that we get for, you know, being the biggest broker, being the biggest this, but the ethics award really stands out and it's very important to Gallagher. So the feeling of a global company that feels local, we just wanted to show some of the other clients that I don't know how I ended up with. I have so many Texas clients. It's like my geographical niche at this point. I come down here, you know, 6 times a year. I'm here all the time. I joke that I should just move down here and start officing out of the Houston office because I'm down in Texas all the time. And just a funny little story to share. So you know, I grabbed some work to do on the plane. So I had a stack of benefit calculations, retirees, you know, starting their benefit, and my analysts will draft them, and they'll give them to me to review before they get sent out. So I had grabbed probably 3 or 4 days worth of calculations. I grabbed a stack to bring on the plane so I'd have some work to do while I'm traveling. And I realized that every single one of them was all Texas clients, every single one of them that I grabbed. It was just by chance. It was just randomly. That's all the calculations I had sitting on my desk waiting for me. So I just felt like, I don't know, I should just move down here. I don't know if I can handle the heat all the time. I like my northern winters to cool me off a little bit.
Where do you live?
I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota, yeah. Our office. Yep. So we do have, Gallagher has offices in Houston, Austin. I think we have one in Dallas. So we have a lot of offices down here. Our actuarial group happens to be in Minneapolis. So that's where pretty much all of us are. So we do a fair amount of traveling. I'm down here a lot, and I need to start getting into here in the winter more. I feel like I end up coming in like June, July, August, and then I melt while I'm down here, but I love it down here. So the kind of a big, like I said, the ethical award that we win every year, some of the biggest things is just our transparency. I don't want anybody to feel like they can't call me on the phone because I'm going to send them a bill. I don't, you know, we try to be, you know, provide you an annual fee, and that'll cover everything. That covers all the auditor questions that we get every year. I mean, if a question comes up, Michelle can call me up anytime, and we'll dig into a plan document, and I'm not going to be, you know, sending a bill for a 15-minute phone call. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not trying to be. So we try to be very, you know, transparent with our fees, and I would say fair. I don't know if it's just me or what, but I tend to be kind of cheap in my own life, so I kind of try and save people money. I don't want to drive my bills up just by putting in more hours on something. So I'm always conscious of, and just coming here for this interview, my boss kept asking me, "Do you want me to come down? Do you want me to book a flight? I'll book a flight." He kept asking him, like, "We don't need to pay for 2 plane tickets, you know." He's to have some extra eye candy up here. So I told him to stay home. So that's. I'm always trying to be, you know, fair and transparent and try to save everyone money. I don't want my fees to be high just for the sake of having high fees. So, and then consulting, I feel like, I don't know, when I take on a client, you know, it's more than just a client to me. I expect the relationship to go on for many, many years. I hope that I'll have a client for 15, 20, 30 years until I retire. I always go into that approach, I mean, for a number of reasons. I feel like we have the same goals in mind. I mean, we want retirees to understand what benefits they have. We want them to be able to retire. And we want to have, you know, fair funding of the plans. We want to reduce volatility. We have a lot of the same goals. So I feel like that really cements our relationship, just the more of a consulting approach to our business rather than just a, you know, I hate to pick on insurance actuaries, but insurance actuaries are, you know, not consultative, and they're going to do their project, and they're going to hand the project off, and they don't want to come for the board meetings. They don't want to do stuff like that. So we try and be a lot more consultative and build a relationship with our clients. And I think it makes it more efficient if you, you know, keep a relationship for a long time. You know everything about the plan, which we definitely do now. I'll get to that later. So the engagement team, you've met, this is my manager. He does the peer review. He makes sure I'm not missing anything. If a new accounting standard comes out, he wants to make sure that we're all, you know, we call it a peer review process. And he just wants to make sure that of all the consultant actuaries that we're kind of doing things consistently throughout the, you don't want one consultant who's recommending one strategy and another consultant, you know, recommending a completely opposite strategy. So we kind of have a peer review process. So every couple of years, Bruce will review our work, the valuation report and stuff that we do for you guys every year, and just make sure that it's, you know, it's following the standards of practice, it's following accounting standards, it's following, if you were privately held, you had to file, you know, IRS rules and regulations. So we like to have that process in place to just help us be consistent and make sure we don't miss anything. I mean, it's easy to get into a kind of a repetitive process. You do an annual valuation every year. You do it basically, you know, the same as the year before. It's easy to have something slip through the cracks. So we like to have an unbiased person take a look at it every couple of years. So that's what Bruce does. And then my analyst now is Austin Cho. He took over, I don't know if any of you ever heard the name Anthony Pluth. He was the analyst up until 3 or 4 years ago, and then Austin took his place. So he's been working on the plan with me since we took it over from Doug. So that's our team. The services that we do, I kind of have just a kind of highlight of our team, what we actually do. So this is actuary team specifically, the Minneapolis team. We have 100 plus clients that we serve, over 200 pension plans that we work on. We have a wide range of plan sizes. I would say that our sweet spot, what we kind of target, is right this kind of size of plan, between 100 to 1,000 participants. We feel like that's kind of our wheelhouse, if you will. So you're never going to feel like a small fish in a big pond when you're with me, because you're my client that I like to deal with. It gets a little impersonal when you get into the 5,000 person plan. It's just, you got to crank out the work. You got 10 bend cuts a day that you got to review, and it gets kind of like, you lose the forest for the trees, I feel like, when you get on those bigger plans. So I really prefer plans that are, a couple hundred people is kind of my favorite plans to work on. Just a few services that we offer. We do have a lot of, especially in the private sector, we do a lot of plan terminations. I mean, once these plans, like 20, 30 years ago, when you guys get fully funded, you're probably just going to want to get rid of the plan. You're not going to keep it around when you've only got 20, 30 people left. So we can help you through those kind of processes. We do have a call center. This is a kind of a newer area that we've been delving into. And it's not a standalone call center. It's integrated into the actuary team. So we actually have full-time staff that just answer phone calls and stuff. But if they can't answer a phone call, if it's a more detailed question, they can transfer it right to one of our analysts to escalate the call, if you will. So it's been kind of a nice add-on for if clients are, just tired of having to deal with the administration, the day-to-day. If Michelle ever retires and you want to outsource that, we could take it on for taking over Ben Hills and stuff in the future. We do a lot of retirement planning. We can help with benefit statements. It's kind of a retirement readiness statement that we've been doing that has been really, really well received. And we don't just do it. We actually can do it not just on pension plans. We've actually been doing it just for 401k plans. So we project people's 401k balance, what they're contributing, and then we show them, okay, if you earn 6%, if you're in 4%, if you're in 8%, we give them some ideas of what the investment return can do to their future retirement. And then we also say, we go a step further and we customize them. So depending on what the client is having an issue with, if they want people to be contributing more, we'll show people, if you just put in 1% more in your 401k, this is what your retirement, might look like. So that's been real popular, and it's, like I said, it can be, both pension and 401k that it's been real helpful with. And I think the biggest thing, how are we different or how are we better than other firms? I think the biggest thing is, like I said, our consultative approach. We really try and customize solutions. We don't have template documents. We literally start from scratch every time we start a new pension plan. Valuation report is customized depending on what your goals are, what your needs are. So it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of approach. It's a real customized approach. Like our annual presentation, I really like that. I feel like that's, kind of nails it down into layman's terms, so it's a little bit, easier for people who aren't in the pension business to understand. You get a valuation report, and it's a 30-page document and has, a million details in it. We like to, simplify that and make it easier for anyone to understand. So that's kind of one of the ways we kind of customize our approach. And then just trying to keep costs down. I've seen other big firms just with outrageous, they look like lawyer, you know, billable rates per hour, and it's just, it's a tough pill to swallow, especially when you're public sector, you're trying to keep your, you know, budgets in line, and you don't have a lot of extra money to spend. So I think cost is probably one of our biggest, you know, drivers of how we can stay in business. Let's keep our fees down. So the, and this is kind of our, so actuary, so Gallagher is divided into a million different divisions, but the main one that we fit into is the retirement division. So the retirement division of Gallagher, which actuary falls under, has what, $29 million in assets. They have a new, they can take on fiduciary liability. So if you, I think CFEX, I don't know what exactly that stands for, but it basically means that Gallagher will take away your financial risk or fiduciary risk. So that's one of the ways that we have expanded by being part of this larger organization, is that we can take on the liability because we're a big enough company to absorb some risk like that. We have the one that I go to a lot is we have ERISA attorneys. So if any legal, you know, plan-related question comes up, we have attorneys that they won't charge you. It's a free consulting. You know, I can go to the ERISA attorney and ask her questions, and she won't charge me, so then I don't have to charge you. It's kind of nice internal resource. So you, if you have questions that come up that need an ERISA attorney or a plan attorney, we have those in-house, and you don't have to go out and spend more money on hiring your own. And then we have the financial analysts. We have actuaries, obviously, that you work with. And about 150 team members total for the whole retirement group, of which 20 of us are certified, certified actuaries, I guess is the term. So, and this is highlighting just a couple of the areas that we work in the most. Obviously, pension plans is our core business and will always be our core business. But along with that, there's retiree medical. A lot of public sector plans have, you know, offerings for after someone retires, they can continue to get medical insurance through the employer, so we value those. The financial wellness we've been working on, especially those benefit statements that we really like. And then I mentioned the benefits administration and the plan termination. So this is kind of a pictorial view of what our main focus is on the actuary consulting services. So then I wanted to talk about the services that we offer you. Specifically, this is a nice little picture to look at, but so every year we go through this process over and over. So you see me every year, I tell you same, you know, give you the same presentation every year. There's a lot of behind the scenes things though that you guys aren't seeing. So every year we get a census update from the HR group. We go through and we reconcile. Not only do we look at the census that we get from the HR person, we also reconcile it to bank statements and make sure that we can match that the payments going out of the trust are matching what we expect they should do. So we do a lot of reconciliation on that side. If we think someone has passed away or if HR thinks someone has passed away, if they're still getting payments from the bank, we need to figure out why, and we need to, you know, reconcile that. So that's some of the things we look into. You know, just reasonableness checks, making sure, you know, dates of birth didn't change. If they did, we want to know why. We want to, you know, figure out if any of the data changed. If we, you know, we don't need pay from you guys, but if there's payroll, we like to do some reasonableness checks just to make sure someone isn't showing up as getting a $5 million a year paycheck when really he's supposed to be getting $50,000 a year. We actually had that come up where we had audited a plan and someone had missed a decimal point. And the actuary that was doing the report just used the payroll as is. So that one person's benefit was like 100 times overstated because they entered the decimal point wrong. So we like to do some checks on that just to make sure we're not missing anything and we're doing our best to, you know, value these liabilities for the true costs that they are so you guys don't have surprises down the road. We also do the value in the assets. One thing we look at, so we obviously monitor the investment rate of return. You see that every year. We also, so for contribution requirements, especially with public sector plans, they're not as cut and dry. So for a corporate plan, the IRS is telling them how much money they have to put in, and they at least have to put that much money in. Well, with public sector, there's lots of different ways. It's, you know, budgeted. It can be, I've seen where it's actually a city statute that they're going to contribute a certain percent of payroll. There's lots of, you know, flexibility, if you will, on funding a public sector pension plan. So we just want to make sure that we understand, you know, what your goals are. And if you tell me that your policy is, you know, XYZ, I look at it every year and I make sure you're actually doing XYZ. And if you're not, I can't in good faith project that into the future and say, yep, they're doing XYZ because they told me they're doing XYZ. But then if I'm seeing something else come up that's not following what they told me, I have to dig into it and make sure we're on the same page. So then we come up with the liabilities. We present them every year, and we come down here and present them to the board. And we also do, for the auditors, we have to do GASB. That's their accounting financial statement report. So we that should be a much bigger bubble, I feel like, this year, because we've had a lot of going around and around with the auditors this year, more than in past years, I feel like. So I think they might have maybe a new auditor who's trying to earn his keep or something the last couple of years, because there's been a lot more dealings with auditors. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was, and this is kind of my favorite part of being an actuary, you know, the annual valuations, they're fun, and some little mysteries will come up, you know, every year in the census or in the assets, but I always say that my favorite part of being an actuary is solving mysteries, and this year we had a very big mystery to solve, so I got to go back and look at, I believe we looked at every single plan document that has existed since the start of the plan in the 1960s, when they first had to write down a formal plan document and send it to the IRS. So it was the 1968 document really isn't as formalized as some of the rules are today. So they would just say stuff like, because now we have a defined interest rate that we have to use for benefit calculations, and back then it was just, we'll use the valuation assumption. But the valuation assumption could change every year, so it was just kind of funny looking back at some of those really old documents that were typed up on a typewriter, and they weren't, you know, word processed and nice like they are today. So I feel like I know the plan backwards and forwards. If a question comes, I would be shocked at this point after the last couple of years of so many funny things coming up. Like, we've had questions about, well, what happens if I divorce and I get a new wife? What, you know, can my new wife be the surviving spouse? What if I, you know, have a benefit we had to look back and match from the guy who had retired in 1981, and we were able to successfully match that. So I feel like at this point in the game, I would be shocked if a question could come up that we haven't seen come up in the last couple of years. We have done some deep digging into the history of the plan. So that was kind of fun. That's kind of my favorite part of being an actuary, is trying to solve these mysteries and do little fun projects like that. So reviewing the history of the plan has been real fun this year. But that's kind of my story. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to take some.
I have a couple questions. When doing a benefit calculation going forward, do you have to look at different plans related to whoever is retiring? If someone left service 15 years ago and hasn't started pulling their retirement, but it may be on an older plan, do you do the calculation based on that older plan?
Sorry, I got tickled in my throat there. It's a good question. So at this point, normally we don't. Most people are far enough past the last big plan changes. Sorry.
I didn't mean to choke.
I do this all the time, like once a day at least. So great timing on the choking in front of the interview committee. The biggest exception to that is those canal division people that you guys had sold off to Galveston Water, I think. Their benefits were frozen as of 1988 when you spun them off. So we do have to do their calculation based on 1988 plan documents. So that comes up with canal, but there's not a lot of canal division people at this point. I think there's only maybe 5 left. So it doesn't come up too often, but just we've done a calculation review to make sure we could, you know, confirm the accuracy of all the past calculations. So that's why we dug into it so deep this year.
Other question is can you tell us about the benefit calculation, how that process works, mm-hmm. and then also the control process you have internally?
Yep. Yeah, so we have a Excel tool, I guess you will, and we input the data. My analyst will input the data, run the tool, do some checks to make sure the tool is working correctly. Every once in a while, there'll be something odd, you know, that happens. Somebody has two beneficiaries, for example, that tool can't really help, you know, do that work. So that's a little more hand-driven, but for the most part, 90-95% of the benefit calculations go through this tool. So he enters everything, clicks a button, it spits out paperwork. He hands it over to me. There's always two sets of eyes on everything before we send anything out. So my analyst will draft it, I review it. If I have any changes, I go back to him, make sure he understands and agrees with my changes that I've made. And then we pass them on to the client to pass out to the retiree.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Well, my contact info is in there if anyone has any questions that they think of afterwards.